Good afternoon, everyone. Today I will be talking about QNVRAM, the quasi-nonvolatile RAM for low overhead persistent enforcement in smartphones. I'm Halvo from University of Nebraska, and the other two co-authors of this paper are Lei Tian and Hong Jiang. So no doubt that we are now in the mobile era. Over the past decade, the mobile devices, including the smartphones and tablets, have become ubiquitous. And the latest smartphones are equipped with multi-core CPUs, large capacity DRAM, and flash storage. However, the inefficiency of the I/O stack in smartphones has dragged the application performance. So according to several recent studies, there are basically four major types of failures in smartphones. The application crash, which indicates that your application stops to work unexpectedly. And the application hang refers to the fact that your application is still active, but delivering constant output due to data lock or get blocked in an infinite loop. And the self-reboot means that the system forced a reboot due to some severe problems like kernel panic. And the system freeze means you won't get any response from your smartphone. So to make sure the data are updated in an atomic, consistent, and durable manner to against the aforementioned four failures, redo or undo logs are employed in different components inside the inside the I/O stack in smartphones. So here I will show you a simple example how log works. So let's say when we update some data, we first modify the data copy in memory. And when we commit the change to the flash storage, we will first write the modified data, a prime, to a log area, which can be a log file or some separated log area in raw device. And once the a prime is secured in log area, we write data back to the real data. So in order to update one data block, we have to write the data twice. And moreover, some applications tend to manage their own data in flat files. So when the application updates this file, they will have to overwrite the whole file to make sure that the update is atomic. So for example, when the application tries to modify file foo, it will write the whole content of new file to a temporary file called foo.temp. And once that is done, the application will rename the temporary file to foo. So this is actually similar to logging. It will perform out-of-place update, but this is even more inefficient because it induces a lot of redundant write. Even unmodified parts had to be write to the flash storage. So in this figure, I show some data from real applications. So I collect I/O traces from seven of the most popular apps from Google Play. So these bin charts illustrate the destination of all these write I/Os. The blue parts are the writes to the real data. The green parts are the writes to the file system journals. And the yellow parts are to the database logs, and the red part are the redundant write induced by double write. As you can see, only about one third of all the writes are to the real data, and all of the others are exclusively for persistency enforcement. As you can see in Chrome, only 33% of all the writes are to real data, and in Twitter, the number is even smaller, it's 22%. So obviously, the overhead of persistence enforcement is pretty high here. And that's mostly because of the inefficiency of the I/O stack. And this will definitely hurt the performance. So, but why do we need logging? So why do we put ourselves through so much pain? That's because the memory is volatile. But have you noticed that every smartphone has battery? So with the battery, the power loss is actually very unlikely to happen, especially when more and more latest smartphones are shipped with irremovable batteries like your iPhone or your latest Google Nexus phone. So can the battery make the DRAM non-volatile in smartphones? So to answer that question, I will first talk about the memory volatility in smartphones from another angle, from the application's point of view. When the application crashes, the application process is terminated. And when the application hangs, the user would probably close the app by killing the process. In either way, the data in the application's memory space is gone. The memory is released by the operating system. And when the next time the application restarts, it will try to recover the data. And at this time, it will get a clean address space, and it has to go to the flash storage to read the log from the flash storage and perform the recovery, failure recovery. But actually, the data before the crash, the page X, is still there. It's still in physical memory. It's very likely that it's unused in the physical memory. So, but we still have to go to the flash storage. This looks very inefficient to me. So what if the application can retrieve the data from operating system? What if the application can ask the operating system for page X when it restarts? So this time, we probably won't need a log, because we can get all the dirty data from the operating system. We can make sure that data we see are consistent, in consistent state. So when the system reboots, the operating system will restart. So when it restarts, the virtual memory system will be reinitialized. So in this case, everything in virtual memory are gone. However, the physical memory over reboot, the data in physical memory are still there over reboot, because the physical memory doesn't lose power over reboot. But unfortunately, the operating system won't see it. And the operating system will get a brand new page table, and we'll just treat all this physical memory as all zeros. So what if the data, the page X, let's say, is stored at a fixed location? So that so after the reboot, we can still find the data in page X using the fixed physical location. So in this case, the page X would look non-volatile to both the operating system and the application, because the content is still there even after I reboot the smartphone. So in the last failure mode, when the system freezes, the user won't get any response from the smartphone. And then, if this happens, the user would probably start some user-initialized recovery, like how to reset the phone or force powering off the phone. So for Android smartphones, if you press the power button for around 10 seconds, your phone will be completely shut down. So everything in DRAM is lost in this case. But what if the operating system can flash the important data to flash storage when the user tries to force powering off the phone? Because because we have a long enough time window to flash some very important data, like the data important to the transaction. We can flush that data to the flash storage. And when the next time we restart, we can read it from the flash storage, which basically which can basically preserve the data. So this is very similar to battery-backed DIMM. So when the system loses power, we flush the data to flash storage. And the next time we restart, we read it from the flash storage. OK, this table summarizes what happened to memory data when failure happens? When the application fails, we lose data in the application's memory space. And when the system reboots, we lose everything in the virtual memory system, but the data in the physical memory is still there. And when the system hangs, we basically lose everything. So based on the above rethinks, we propose a new design of non-volatile RAM in smartphones, the quantum non-volatile RAM. It's implemented as a set of softwares, a user library, and a kernel module. The QNVRAM requires no extra hardware. And we call it quasi-non-volatile because it's not 100% volatile. There are certain cases which are very rare. We still lose data. So in the QNVRAM library implements very easy to use APIs for the application to allocate, free, and retrieve data. So the application can allocate and free a piece of QNVRAM during normal execution and retrieve the data when failure happens upon failure recovery. And the kernel module manages a small chunk of physical memory. The physical memory is reserved at when the system boots up so that the virtual memory system won't see it. So and the physical memory is located at a fixed physical address so that we can find it even after reboot. And the kernel module is also responsible for emergency flush so that when the user tries to power off the phone, the data will be flushed to flash storage. For now, we only reserve like 20 megabytes of physical memory. Because we found that the page cache used by SQLite to enforce persistency is really very small, and 20 megabytes is actually enough for most of the applications. So next I will show you a case study of QNVRAM. We implement a persistent page cache in SQLite to perform in-place update. So, in the persistent page cache, we don't need redo log or undo log anymore. So when we make changes to the database, we perform the update in place. And if something happens here, let's say the system crashed at this point, we can recover from the persistent page cache because the data is still there. So when the next time the application restarts, it will use the retrieve function to get the data back from the QNVRAM and flash the dirty page to the table file so that the database is in consistent state. So in this figure, I show the performance comparison between persistent page cache and the baseline write-ahead log in Samsung Galaxy S4 smartphone. It's pretty recent model. As you can see in this figure, the persistent page cache outperforms the write-ahead log by 2 times in all operations, the insert, update, and the delete. And in this figures, I showed a block IO pattern of write-ahead log and the persistent page cache. So as you can see here, the persistent page cache eliminates all of the database log IOs and almost all of the ext4 journal IOs, so which means the journal of journal anomaly is resolved automatically by the persistent page cache. But so far, we haven't unleashed the full potential of the QNVRAM, because in persistent page cache, we still have to write data to the flash storage upon every commit. So actually, we can be more lazy. So we flash the dirty pages in persistent page cache only when there are enough dirty pages. So As you can see in this figure, when we update block A and commit the changes, we don't issue the flush. And when we update block B and commit, at this time we have enough dirty pages in persistent page cache, and we flush them together to the file system, to the flash storage. So the lazy flush can take advantage of the high sequential bandwidth of the flash storage in smartphones. So here I show the performance between lazy flush and the persistent page cache and the baseline Red Hat log. It turns out that the lazy flush can significantly boost the performance. The reason is because in the write I/O to the flash storage, the locality is actually very high. So basically, all these repeated writes can be absorbed by the persistent page cache. Oops. So here are the block I/O patterns of the insert operation for lazy flush, when lazy flush is enabled. So here you can see that the lazy flush writes much less data to the flash storage than the persistent page cache. Because whenever you, for example, in the SQLite, whenever you update a record, you have to modify the first block in the table files to update the change counter. So that kind of repeated write can be absorbed by the persistent page cache. So to conclude, the QNVRAM takes advantage of the battery-backed characteristics of mobile devices. So there is absolutely no extra hardware needed. And we rethink the memory volatility from another angle, from the application's point of view, and we propose, we make the RAM quasi non-volatile. So with QNVRAM, the SQLite can get rid of the database journaling and resolve the journal-of-journal anomaly. And the performance results show that the QNVRAM can speed up SQLite by up to 16 times. And in a future work, I will do more work on how to make this reliable and do more case studies on this QNVRAM. Thank you all, and I'm open for questions.
All right, so Wenjie from Fermilab, very good work. I'm just curious, because for your application crash or system reboot, and how do you ensure the data integrity in this case? Is this important or is not an issue? Thank you.
Sorry, you mean when the system reboots and when the system reboot and what?
And the application hand, because your old data you leave in the cache, and then you, because your battery support the cache, and is the integrity is a problem or data
no,
integrity?
No, this will guarantee the integrity in this case, is because when the system reboot, the QNVRAM is basically a chunk of physical memory. We reserve that memory at the system boot time. So when the system reboots, we can still find the data because the DRAM doesn't lose power.
I understand the point. Because your application crash or yes. Your system application hangs, does that before the application crash or something, will it do some bad things on your memory and then the how you ensure your data integrity? Is that an issue or not?
Yes, I think I'm pretty sure that the data will still be there and the integrity of the data is not a problem because when the application crashes, the data in the physical memory is not lost, right?
It's not lost, but well, could something happen to the integrity? Mm, no, well, I don't know. I just ask. So.
Okay. I don't think the integrity is a problem. Okay, thank you.
Xiaosong Ma from QCRI, a very interesting work. So is it correct that your theme is because we have battery in our mobile phones, so we can do things in a more optimistic way compared to traditional systems?
Yes.
So if that is the case, beyond speeding up applications. For example, can we also save a lot of energy and making battery last longer? Did you do any evaluation?
Yes, very good question. So I've already thought about that. So basically, this can help reduce the power consumption of the smartphone. Because for now, these IOs are all small IOs, and it takes a long time. So if we can like batch all these writes and write them to the flash at one time, then we can save CPU cycles. We can so we can basically save CPU cycles, and it will also reduce the power consumption of the encryption. Because for now, if we encrypt every small block of data, it will be very it will consume a lot of power. But if we encrypt a large chunk of data, it will be more energy efficient.
Michael Condit, NetApp. I think I can ask the first questioner's question in a more specific way to make it clearer, because I had the same question.
Mm-hmm.
One of the main reasons for an application or a system to crash is a wild pointer that it doesn't point to what you think it points to, and you write on it and then try to read back from it. What you might have written on is the memory that you are making persistent, so that when you restore the application and it restores that memory, the memory is bad. It's corrupt. One of the things that you always have to worry about is when you make computer systems more persistent, errors that used to be volatile are now persistent as well.
Okay, so thank you for making it clear. So to answer your question, so this my work is primarily for the persistency enforcement in the smartphones. So it's not used as directly as the persistent memory. So we use it more like a write buffer or a page cache to enforce the persistency. So when the write to the flash storage fails, we can still find the data copy in the memory. So in this case, we manage the persistent, the QMRM more like a block device. So does that answer your question?
Mike Tin from University of Toronto. I was just curious, if say, let's say a kernel panics, so your system hangs and you don't guarantee data integrity, right? So after a reboot, how much damage does it cost? Is it just the app doesn't work or the whole smartphone just doesn't work?
So again, the QMRM is primarily for persistency enforcement. So you manage the RAM like a RAID cache. So like in SQLite, it has its own like page cache. So whenever it modifies a data, it will modify the data in the page cache. And it's managed more like a block device.
But the flushing back of buffer cache and the storage is atomic.
Yes.
In your case, if a kernel panic, it doesn't guarantee data integrity, which means it's not atomic anymore. I'm asking, if that happened, the worst case happened, how much damage does it cost?
I don't think there is any damage, because we can still find the data, right? The dirty page in the memory is still there. And we know that it has not been written to the flash storage. And we can basically flash that.
Let's say the battery is dead. Like there is no battery at all.
Okay.
When the system hangs. Right.
So when battery is dead, that's a different story. So when the battery is low, the smartphones, the iPhone and the Android phones will...
Right. So how much damage does it cost?
No,
so you're losing your whole smartphone because your battery died.
Oh, because the battery died. So
yeah.
Before the battery died, when the battery is low...
After the battery died, are you losing your whole smartphone, yes or no?
No.
Okay, I see. Let's talk offline.
Peter Desnoyers, Northeastern. It is interesting to see that, you know, as the trend goes towards devices with batteries that don't pop out when you drop them, that totally changes the failure mode. At the same time, you do have, you know, a vast population of devices where, you know, the predominant failure mode is in fact sudden power failure. You know, in other words, if I go like this, this one's still running. My previous one wouldn't have.
Yeah.
You know, so you have something where you've got a population of devices where, you know, half of them you can use this method, and the other half, which unfortunately typically have slower storage with higher latency,
right.
Don't. I wonder how you've thought, for instance, about what a secondary battery for memory backup would involve or something like that.
Yeah, so it looks like the, all of you are worried about the data battery. So if the sudden power loss happens, unfortunately, the QRAM won't be able to handle that case.
Right, right.
Data will be lost. Yes, but the assumption here is that the possibility of that happening is very small. So there has been several recent studies on how your smartphone fail can support my argument here.
Okay.
So these are the major failure modes in smartphones. And the one you talked about, the sudden failure loss, that's very rare. So the whole point behind this is to trade the consistency in some very, very rare cases for a significant performance boost.
Okay, I will say that the information I've gotten from the Android team, as well as observation of many other people I know with smartphones, is that the sudden power loss due to battery separation is a very real issue for many phones, so including Android ones.
Okay.
Hi, Yujip Wan from Hanyang University. Mm-hmm. So are you assuming that page cache location of a SQLite file is fixed?
Yes, we manage the page cache just like a block device, yes.
And the number of SQLite journal file?
Yes.
Is dynamically changes,
yes,
and it's created and deleted and
That's the default mode in the SQLite.
Right. Then how can you make it known the location of dynamically created and deleted files on the page cache? How can you fix the location of those files in the page cache?
Oh, this, so the QRAM is not used to store the journals. So is that what you mean?
No. It looks that you are assuming that putting the SQLite journal files in the page cache.
No. That's not what I intend to do here. So we want to get rid of the journal files.
Okay.
So we use the QRAM as the page cache in SQLite. So the SQLite can use, so by default, the SQLite use malloc to allocate the memory for a page cache, but we can modify that to use the QMRAM.
Okay, I'll take it offline.
Since there's a few minutes left, let me ask one question. Do you have a sense of how the energy consumption grows with the size of the QNVRAM partition? And the reason I'm asking is I'm thinking of applications which are doing things like video editing and other kinds of modifications to data for which the 20 megabyte limit might not be a realistic assessment. So
yes, good question. So for application like video recording, probably using QMRAM is not a good idea, because the QMRAM is for, especially for persistence enforcement and for, especially for the SQLite. Here in this case.
But how do you selectively, I mean, it seems like this is like an OS level thing, right? Either it's there for all or for none. So are you saying that it is not a good idea to deploy as a OS level abstraction? How else do you manage it? Something to think about. Maybe we can take this offline.
Yeah.
All right, we had a great set of questions for this talk. Let's thank the speaker again.